Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor Keith here. Today we're going to be talking about faith and faithfulness. Let's turn to Psalm 112, Psalm 15, verse 12. It says, "The Lord has been mindful of us." Does God ever think about you? Are you ever on his mind? It says he's been mindful of us. And what is he thinking about? He said, he will bless us. That's what he had on his mind when he thought about you. He thought about blessing you. It goes on to say he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The emphasis here is on blessing. How many times? Bless, 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 bless. He is the God of blessing. That's who he is. That's what he is. And there's always more blessing to receive. And blessing is supposed to be much more than something you say when somebody sneezes. Let's look at the next verse and see more about blessing. Verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Verse 15. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So there's a connection between increase and blessing. Let's go back to verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will do what? He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. How many know that you have to be in there somewhere? Once you're a child of God, once you're born again and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in there somewhere. And it's God's will to bless us. Verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. So why say that in the middle of talking about blessing? Because that's what blessing does. Blessing increases. God is a God of the increase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7 says, So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's his will that every good thing multiplies. He is the one who created seed, and a seed in itself is a miracle. We've grown used to it. One little seed becomes 100. You plant a corn kernel and you get ears of corn full of kernels. And if you keep planting it, it will fill up acres of land. That's what God has always done. That's what he is. That's who he is. God of increase and blessing. Because he is faithful God. James 5 verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And you and I both know he is coming soon, and we're going to find out what is delaying his coming. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. We are told here what he's waiting on. He's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth. What is the precious fruit of the earth, you may ask? Good question. Human salvation, soul saved. That is the precious fruit. There are about 8 billion people on the earth. Do all of them have faith in Jesus as their Lord? No. Then they won't be part of the harvest. But those who do believe and are born again will be part of the harvest. God is getting a harvest together from all generations who have ever lived. And God is showing the end result to Abraham. He showed it to him centuries ago. He and Sarah did not have a child. Genesis 15 verse 5 says, and he brought him forth outdoors and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. We need to understand who our God is and what his plan is. You and I are part of his great plan of God, taking a people for himself out of the harvest of the earth. We need to understand his principles to operate successfully on the earth. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the God of the increase. He is the God of fruitfulness. Psalm 115 says that the Lord's been mindful of us. He has thoughts and he has plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And God doesn't work by our time clock, because we need some mind renewal in this area. 2 Peter verse 8 says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And we think 50 years is a long time, 100 years is a long time. But yesterday morning was 1,000 years ago to God. Ain't that something? This life on this earth is the briefest thing we'll ever do compared to eternity. This life is deciding what happens next. God is taking to himself a group of people, not everybody, to spend eternity with him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in therein. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Everybody's not going to be saved. It's not God making the choice for them. They are making the choice for themselves. What is God's will? What is he thinking about? He's thinking about expansion. When he thinks about expansion, he thinks about you. He said that, I know the plans that I have thought about you. Plans to give you an expected end. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got a plan. And the beautiful thing about it is that you are part of his plan. It doesn't involve you playing a harp or being bored 4,000 years. No, God's got a plan that involves you ruling and reigning with him in his eternal kingdom. How big is that kingdom? The thing he used to show Abraham was the sky. He said, Abraham, look up into the sky. And even today, with all the modern technology, we have no idea how many stars or planets or galaxies are out there. He told Abraham, that's how many your seed will be. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, right? So those who have faith in Jesus Christ are the seed of Abraham. Everybody that's ever been born again is Abraham's seed. God is a big God. He's got some big plans for his kingdom, and he needs a lot of help to operate it. God wants to train us, and that training has to be conducted in a challenging environment. Right. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God, putting on the full armor of God, putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the shoes of peace. Why do you have armor? Because you're going to do battle. What if you have all this gear and there's no fight? How can you be an overcomer unless there's something to overcome? How can you be more than a conqueror unless there's an enemy? How can there be obedience and faithfulness if you don't have a choice? The thing that God is looking for and the thing that he will reward is faith and faithfulness. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. What does impossible mean? There's no way you're going to please him with a prayer or an offering or works of any kind unless there is faith in it. You can't do something extreme enough that is going to wow God. You should remember, he creates planets, right? Here's what wows God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 says, when he entered Capernaum, that's Jesus, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. What is faith? The Greek word for faith is pistis. Another word for faith is trust. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence not seen. He goes on through the entire 11th chapter to talk about people of faith, people who believe God and obeyed God. He talked about Enoch and Abraham and Moses and others. They trusted God. He would tell them to do something and they would do it, even though they did not understand, even though they couldn't see how it could happen. They would believe God anyway. They would trust him in the face of seemingly overwhelming, contradicting evidence. They chose to trust him. How many are confident that if they should die right now, that they would go be with the Lord? Why are you so confident? Because you are trusting in the finished work of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You better not be trusting in how good you've been. There are people who are thinking that I'm good enough to make it. Then you're probably not. Nobody can save themselves through their good works. People believe that Peter will be at the gates of heaven with the old-fashioned scale and he will weigh your good works versus your bad works, and your good works will outweigh your bad works, and you'll make it into heaven. That's not going to happen. Nobody is saved because of the good they've done. If you could be, then it would not be necessary for Jesus to come to save you, for Jesus to come for your salvation. And he had to come, or none of us would be saved. How many would lift up their hands and say, I'm trusting in Jesus and what he's done for my salvation? Then you can be confident and assured that when you breathe your last breath, you will be straight with him. Faith is trusting him. Faithfulness is him trusting us. There are a lot of baby Christians that have trusted God for their salvation. They're saved, but they are not faithful. He cannot depend on them for things that matter to get the kingdom work done. He's looking for men and women that will grow up in the Lord and develop so that he can count on them. When he wants something done, he could tap them on the shoulder by the Spirit, and they will immediately do what he has directed them to do. Do it the way he said. These are the faithful ones. Their future positions in heaven, in the kingdom, will be based on faithfulness. Do you remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25? The owner distributed the talents among his servants. He went away for a bit, and they were supposed to use their talents to produce more, to increase and multiply what he had given them. And the one that said, I hid the talent you gave me, did not receive any reward. But the others who said, I put the talents to work and they have increased. What did he say to them? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. What are the talents? The talents are the grace and opportunities. And just because you have these graces and opportunities at your disposal doesn't mean that you will do anything with them. God knows how much to give each person. The Bible says he gave every man according to his several ability. You can see why he only gave that guy one. He didn't do anything with it. It would have been a big waste to give him five, and he would have done the same thing with five that he did with one. What is faith? Faith is us trusting him. What is faithfulness? That's God being faithful, meaning he can trust us. And you and I want to develop to where God can depend on you, that God can count on you. Can you say that today? Ask yourself in these days coming up, can God depend on me? Am I faithful? If he asks me to do something, am I able to do it right away? And if that's not you, we're going to pray right now. that you become that person. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. This is indeed the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for life. We thank you for godliness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. I lift up those within the sound of my voice and myself as well, that we be more faithful to you, that become more trustworthy by you, that you can count on us, and that our reaction time to when you speak to us and when we obey becomes shorter and shorter, so that becomes instantaneous, immediate. So Lord, bless every head bowed. We cover them right now in the blood of Jesus, and they're coming in and they're going out. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you all have a great day.